Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.
There you go. That's the little song to get us into our series today, our message today. Thank you, Steve and worship team, for leading us into some worship and some songs of worship. That was great. Well, we are continuing on in our worry series today, and what we've been doing in the series, we've been collecting comments, what people are most concerned about in life, what people are most worried about in life, and we've been responding to those items in our brief four-week series. Now, last week in particular, we talked about health issues and conflict and peacemaking, and it was really encouraging to see a number of people just come forward and share what was going on in their lives in these areas. And today, we're closing off our worry series as we talk about God's will and hearing God's voice and talking about salvation. Now, as I've said before, I'm trying to group complimentary comments together as we're doing today. And I also just want to say a really sincere thank you to those of you who filled out those comments, because it really helped me prepare for this series, but it's also, I hope it's been a help for the church and for you as an individual, particularly if you were the one who wrote a comment. So let me just say a word of prayer, and we'll jump into our message for today. Lord, we are talking about some very relevant comments today, things that are on people's minds, things that potentially people are worrying about, and particularly in the area of discerning your will and salvation. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts, you would open up our minds and our ears to what you have to say to us today. Amen. Okay, so we have three comments for today. And the first two are they're different, but they're so close together that I'm going to read them the same time, the first two comments, and I'm going to respond to them in a similar way. So the first two comments, I'm just going to read them for you. So what concerns you most in life? Well, the first one is this: living God's plan for us, what if we don't? And the second one is this: not hearing that still small voice. So again, the first one is living God's plan for us, what if we don't? And the second one is not hearing that still small voice. Okay, so I have a handful of comments that I want to say about these comments. So I have 5 points to respond to these comments. And the first one is this: it's important for us, if we want to hear God's voice and discern God's plan for us, that number one, we're starting with spending quiet time with God. Who here has gone to Science World in Vancouver? Sean, I don't know if you're still working out, if you can hear that little, yeah, you're on it. I went to Science World last week, and actually in the summertime I went, but the first time I went to Science World, I didn't notice this first display. And when I went the second time this past week, I went with my daughter, and there was this display there. I guess they call it acoustic mirrors or something along that nature. Well, what it is, it's kind of like a plate or a bowl, and they flip it sideways, and there's two plates and bowls that face each other. Let's call them acoustic mirrors. And they're about 3 to 4 feet in diameter, and they're across the room from each other. So they might be 30 or 40 or 50 feet apart. And what you do is they tell you to be about a foot away from this bowl, and you put your ear there, you put your mouth there, and you could have a conversation with someone across the entire room, 30 or 40 or 50 feet, and you could be whispering, not just talking, but whispering to the person across the room, and you can hear each other. And so my daughter and I were having this conversation with each other, whispering across the room at Science World. And not only that, there was at least 100 people in the room probably. There was this big lively display happening just beside us. There's people walking around the room. But yet, if my daughter and I were focused in the right position, we could have this whispering conversation with each other. A neat concept, a really neat concept. And, you know, in a similar way, when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to make sure that we're spending still and quiet time in his presence in the midst of life that just sometimes can be just be so busy and so chaotic. A story comes to mind, story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And he's in a situation where he's fleeing for his life because people are trying to kill him. And he gets to the point where he's like, God, just take my life. Just kill me now. Life is horrible. But then God tells him to go stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. And then the text continues, and it says this. We're in 1 Kings 19. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then God went on to speak to Elijah and gave him very specific instructions. You know, I kind of wish that God had, for many of us and all of us, he just gave us a very specific list of things he wants us to do. But it's not always works out that way. But anyways, it's worth pointing out in this case that God didn't appear in the big. God didn't appear in the loud. God didn't appear in the big impressive stuff, but through a gentle whisper. And in a similar way, I think we can hear God better when we take the time to be quiet and still in his presence. Of course, we know that Jesus took large amounts of time at different points of the day to go away from the crowds and to spend alone in quiet time with God. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And you know, one of the biggest challenges we have in hearing from God is just being too busy and too rushed with the cares of life, that we don't spend time with God. And so it's so important to find time every day to be quiet and still before the Lord, whether it's coming to him in prayer. And there's sometimes where I will go to the Lord in prayer and I'll be praying with the Lord, but I'm not actually saying anything. I'm just sitting there and saying absolutely nothing. And I think that's an appropriate way to pray sometimes as well, just being silent in his presence. And sometimes it also means just reflecting on God's word as well. Let's go to the second point. Sean, do you want me to switch mics or is this okay?
That's good.
Am I okay? Yeah, okay. The second point is this. God's more concerned about the condition of the heart. God's more concerned about the condition of the heart. King David comes to mind. If you know anything about David, you might know that he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a polygamist. He was a bad father in some regard. He participated in acts of pride and so on. But God loved David and he honored him because he considered King David to be a man after God's heart, which I find interesting. Acts 13:22 says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to. And notice there that that David is doing something. He's willing to be obedient to God, and that's why God considers him to have a man after his own heart. His heart before God was right. Now, like everyone else in the world, David wasn't perfect, but his heart was sensitive towards God. David was quick to repent when confronted. He spent time with the Lord, and he did his best in other ways to be obedient to God and to honor him. And in return, I think God honored King David in all sorts of ways. I should highlight that Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of the things we need to keep in mind when considering God's will for our lives is that God has given us commandments, he's given us values, he's given us principles and scripture to live by. And it's so important that we are doing our best to live by those values and principles in our lives. And I think God is much more concerned with the condition of the heart as we obey him and as we honor him than many of the other details in life. Just as an example, you know, there might be someone here, for example, who's thinking, man, should I go work at McDonald's or should I work at Wendy's? What's the Lord's will in this? And we might get stressed out over that. But you know, I think in a case like that, God is not probably as concerned as to which company you work for, but that you're keeping his principles, his commands, that you're developing a strong work ethic, that you're not stealing, that you're a fair employee, that you're a fair employer, that you treat others with love and respect, the principles that God is pushing us towards. And remember, I think in many cases, God's more concerned about the condition of the heart than many of the other details surrounding God's will for us. The third one, assuming you're doing number one and number two well, number three, it seems overly simplistic, but it needs to be said. Number three is go ahead and make a decision. Go ahead and make a decision. And I'll explain what I mean by this as we go. Now, assuming you're spending time with the Lord And assuming that your heart is right before him and you're putting him first and you're asking for wisdom, God's going to guide you. Trust that he's going to guide you and give you wisdom in your decision making as you discern God's will for your life. Many people love Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." I also want to highlight when making a difficult decision, it's really important to be seeking godly advice and counsel. However, anyways, assuming you're doing all these things, don't get caught up in what my previous pastor phrased. He said it this way. I love what he called this kind of a thing. He says, don't get caught up in analysis paralysis. Don't get caught up in analysis paralysis, where you analyze something to death. You just don't make a decision in life. And so if you were to apply this concept to this situation, don't get caught up with making sure you're on God's specific dot of God's what he wants in your life, of God's plan in your life, that you are constantly questioning and double-guessing the direction you feel the Lord moving you towards. Don't stress yourself out. Don't go through analysis paralysis. I want to give you an example in my life how I was in a situation where I was undergoing analysis paralysis. I was in high school, and I felt called to be a pastor. I felt called to go to Bible college, and I had applied to three different Bible colleges, and I got accepted to all, and now it was time for me to make a decision. Which Bible college am I going to choose? And I was stressed out of my mind. What if I go to the wrong Bible college, and I'm outside of God's will? What's going to happen to me? And so I narrowed it down to two, and I prayed fervently, and I thought fervently, and I analyzed everything too much to the point where I drove myself crazy. And I ended up getting to the point where I just chose Bible College A because it had a nice gymnasium and because it was accredited. And anyways, it was a wonderful time there. It had an awesome time. But I think the point is that, you know, I think God would have been okay if I went to either Bible college. And in the end, as I was praying, I think God gave me the wisdom to choose the right one anyways. So don't get caught up in analysis paralysis. And maybe in a similar way, there might be people here who are feeling the same way about something else in their life. Maybe you have to make a tough business decision right now in your life. Maybe there's someone here who's got a decision they need to make at home or at school. And my encouragement for you today would be, for goodness sake, put yourself out of your misery and just make a decision. Trust that the Lord is going to give you wisdom to make the right choice to move ahead. Amen. So be okay with the fact that most of the time, God doesn't spell out every detail of the future to us, and there's good reason for that, and it's okay. But he will give you wisdom and make decisions and trust God's guidance in your life. Fourth point, and this is a very freeing truth, at least for me, and maybe it is for you. The fourth point that I want to share with you today is, remember, things always go according to God's plan. Remember, things always go according to God's plan. And again, this is a freeing truth for those of us who don't always understand the big picture or why things turned out the way they did. Things always go according to God's plan. We look at the story of Joseph. We were just in a series in Genesis. And Joseph, he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He ended up in prison based on false accusations. He was forgotten about, and the list goes on. I'm sure during these difficult years, Joseph and the rest of the family were probably just questioning where God was in the midst of these circumstances. And maybe he was even questioning God's will. Where's God in all this, and what's his will in all this? However, we know at the end of the story, God had to bring Joseph through all those difficult circumstances so that the family and the future of Israel could be saved. And remember that God will be guiding us, even in situations that we aren't sure about, or even in situations that don't seem right, or even in situations that don't seem fair. Remember that things always go according to God's plan. And also be prepared to know that God may change the plans without notice. You may step forward with a plan with confidence, but he may very well tweak it. James 4:13-15 says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, I was told last week that one of the members of St. Matt's Church, they call them parishioners, very world-renowned for studying scriptures. What was it that he studied? Someone help me out. The Dead Sea Scrolls, that's right. He was world-renowned for his study in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I had met him a few months ago, and I think we had some connection through a professor back in my Bible college. I can't remember all the details. Anyways, he seemed to be a normal guy, full of life, and he just passed away last weekend. He was just praying with his wife on a Saturday night, just having a casual evening, and he passed away. And he was probably making plans to travel who knows where and teach at he was a professor at Trinity University as well, and the Lord took him. You never know what the Lord's going to do in our lives. President Obama in the United States said some time ago with great confidence that Donald Trump would not be president. Well, guess what happened? Trump is the next president. Jesus told of a story of a man who was building barns to store his surplus grain and wealth, almost in a boastful way so that he could enjoy it later on in life. But then Jesus called him a fool because God would take his life that very night, and everything he had would be passed on to someone else. So for us, remember that nothing is guaranteed in life. Things always go according to God's plan, but God has the right to tweak them and change them as he sees fit. But take comfort in knowing that things always go according to God's plan. That, I'm sure, will be a good conversation piece at small group, because there are some tensions in there. You know, what about the unfair things that happen in life? Point number five, get involved in what the Lord is doing. Get involved in what the Lord is doing. Remember that life isn't all about you, and don't live your life as if you're on your own little spiritual island where it's just you and God hanging out. There's more to life than just you. Remember that the Lord is already at work in the lives of many people, many organizations, many churches. You know, there might be someone here who has a deep burden to help orphans in some way, and so you might be thinking, oh, how can I start an organization to help orphans in the world? Well, maybe what the Lord wants you to do is to support a ministry that's already doing it well, and to partner with an organization that's already doing it well. I had a situation where some time ago a homeless person came up to me and they asked me for some money, and I didn't give. I kind of have this policy that I don't give out cash to homeless people. Maybe there are some people here who do that, and that's totally cool. That's totally fine, but for me, that's just a decision I made at that point. Anyways, I didn't give, but I felt a deep burden to help in some way. So instead, my wife and I, we gave a significant financial gift to the Salvation Army in our local community, to a particular ministry that works with the homeless here in Abbotsford. I believe it's called the Center of Hope, which is actually, I think it's the same ministry we contributed to from our Thanksgiving offering as a church. And so we help and we partner with organizations that are already doing things well. In a similar way, there might be something you're very passionate about going on in another part of the world where, well, maybe one of the things you should consider is supporting a missionary who's already there in that part of the country, who's already meeting that need that you're passionate about. Anyways, whatever it looks like, when trying to discern God's will for your life, consider how God is already at work and see how you can get involved. So there was a lot of points and a lot of thoughts with these two comments, but let me just summarize what we talked about so far. In order to hear God's voice, discern his will and his plan for us, first of all, make sure you're spending time with God. Remember that God is most concerned about the heart and us obeying him. Number three, go ahead and make decisions with confidence with the wisdom that God gives you. Number four, know that our plans may change, but things always go according to plan, God's plan. Nothing surprises him. And number five, get involved in what the Lord is doing. So there's one more comment that we want to deal with for today, and this is the last comment for our series. And so the last comment, which happens to be a question, is this. Can you lose your salvation? So we're going to talk about that for a few moments. Can you lose your salvation? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow Wayne Grudem's thoughts in his book, Bible Doctrine, in his chapter, The Perseverance of the Saints Remaining a Christian. And I just find his the way he orders things is very helpful. I'm just going to glean some of his thoughts here. Right, we're going to start with Grudem's position or definition. He starts his chapter as follows. He says, the perseverance of the saints means that all those who are truly born again will be kept by God's power and will persevere as Christians until the end of their lives, and that only those who persevere until the end have been truly born again. And so we're going to unpack this a little bit. I've got 3 points as we are in this category, in this comment. And the first two are very, very similar. In fact, they're going to sound identical, but they're not. The first point is this. Let's talk about this first concept, that those truly born again will persevere to the end. So the first point, those truly born again will persevere to the end. So in other words, if you have a genuine faith in Jesus, if it's truly genuine, it's going to persevere to the end. Just some scripture references to support this point is the first one. We see in John 6, Jesus is speaking. And he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. John 10, Jesus is speaking again. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. 1 Peter 1:5, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I'm not going to read the entire Ephesians 1 passage, but just want to say that it talks about the Holy Spirit acting like a seal or guarantee of salvation. So there is a sense for those who are genuine believers that the Lord will keep us safe and secure, and he'll help us persevere to the end. The second point sounds the same, but it's not. I'm just reversing what we just said in the first point, and it's this. Those who persevere to the end have truly been born again. In other words, those who persevere to the end, they have a true, genuine faith in Jesus. Jesus said, if you hold to or continue in my teaching, you really are my disciples. So this idea of continuing the faith, not just this one-time deal, but there's a continuing in Jesus. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Next, Paul is talking about the Colossian Christians being reconciled to God through Christ. And he says, if you continue in your faith, if you continue in your faith. Hebrews 3:14 says, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. So there's a sense in which if a genuine faith will result in someone persevering in their faith to the very end. It's not just a one-time deal. Love you, Jesus. Okay, see you later. I'm saved. But you're persevering to the end. So if it's important that someone has genuine faith or that they have been born again, we need to, point three, we need to take a second to determine if we truly do have genuine faith in Jesus. Determine if we are truly born again. Now before we get there, let me just make a few comments. And the first comment that I want to make is that keep in mind that not all people who appear to be Christian have genuine faith in God. Not all people who appear to be Christians have genuine faith in God. Matthew 7 is a very interesting passage to me, and Jesus is speaking here, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Another example comes to mind. You may recall at the Last Supper, Jesus, he tells his disciples that one of them are going to betray him. And at the time, the disciples had no idea who it would be. And it turned out to be Judas, who had walked with them for years. And they had no idea that he would be the one among them. And so in a similar way, we have people all around us in our churches who might appear to be Christians, but they don't truly have a genuine saving faith in Jesus. So keep that in mind. I also want to take a moment to challenge the backslider. Those of us here who have walked away from Christ. Now, for those of us who have backslidden, it might be an indication that you did not have a genuine faith in the first place, and that you are not saved, and that you are not going to heaven. I want to read to you a passage. It's very powerfully worded. Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And you need to know that we do a great disservice to the body of Christ to suggest that people who once had some kind of profession of Christ but have fallen away from him are saved when they really aren't. Now, if this is true, then we better be praying for our friends and our loved ones that they have a genuine faith in Christ. And you know, there may be someone sitting here today who you might classify yourself as a backslider. And I want to appeal to you today by saying that you're not truly saved until you have a genuine faith in Jesus that perseveres to the end. And so how do you know if you have a genuine faith in Jesus? Let's talk about that. Well, first of all, you need to start by acknowledging that you are a sinner, that you make mistakes, that you desperately need Jesus in your life. Second, it's believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he rose again from the grave in power. And number three, you need to commit to living your life in obedience to God with his help. That's the ABC, that's the gospel. I like to share it in that way. The second thing you want to see, you need to ask yourself if you believe the gospel is number two, you need to ask, hey, is there any evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in my life? Is the Holy Spirit in my life? Is the Holy Spirit producing fruits of the Spirit in their lives, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on? A third question you want to ask, it's very similar, but is there evidence of long-term growth or maturity in Christ? In other words, are you growing in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, affection, and love? And if there is evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, that would mean that the Holy Spirit is in your life, which means if the Holy Spirit is in your life, that means you are a genuine believer. And if you can say yes to these questions, you can be confident that you have genuine faith in Christ and that your salvation is secure. So let me summarize this comment by saying this, that those truly born again will persevere to the end. And that those who persevere to the end have proven that they have been born again and that they do have a genuine faith in Christ, which highlights the fact that we need to be concerned and praying for the backsliders in our lives. And lastly, those who have genuine faith will receive the gospel. They'll have an evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their lives and that they're growing in Christian maturity over their life. Let me close in prayer as we close off our service. Lord, many of us here are likely in a situation where we need to make some important decisions in life, and we just pray that you would give us your wisdom and guidance to make the right steps ahead. Lord, many of us have loved ones and friends who have walked away from you. Bring them back to the Lord. For those of us sitting here today who might even classify themselves as a backslider, Lord, give them the courage today to come forward and recommit their lives to you. Amen.